it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
In this case, it's you got away with it. Two Cornell University students sparked a campus controversy after they lawfully hunted a black bear, then brought its remains back to their dorm to skin and butcher it.
Yeah.
The incident did prompt a police report and an official inquiry over the weekend. University officials say it was legal under state regulations. The undergrad students found to have cut up the 120-pound bear inside a campus residence hall on Saturday. They hold valid New York State hunting license. Mm-hmm. They were not found to have violated any state laws or any rules, according to the Department of Environmental Conservation. Cornell did determine the students also stayed within the boundaries of the Student Code of Conduct.
There you go.
Which does not appear to address animal carcass transportation and processing or the storage of raw meat. The outlet noted a photo of the dorm shared on social media showed the remains of a small, apparently young bear laid out on a table. The image apparently kind of struck a nerve at the university, whose unofficial mascot is a bear known as Touchdown.
Oh.
Quotes, no one has seen Touchdown lately, one student joked.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. Did they have a real bear?
Yeah,
Touchdown?
Oh,
or is it like a mascot?
No, I think it's just a mascot.
Hopefully.
I mean, I don't know.
It would be funny if they were like, oh, God.
Yeah.
We shot Touchdown.
I mean, that's not... Typically, you do not see bears in captivity. I mean,
well,
do you?
Yeah.
I mean, like the National Zoo. Do they have a bear?
Well, they got panda bears.
Well, I know that.
But there's got to be bears.
Well, look, man, bears can climb up trees. They can climb walls.
I'm sure there's a few places that have them in captivity. You don't see them much, you're right, as like a college mascot.
Right.
But I feel like bears and chimpanzees, as far as the movie world goes, outside of dogs and all that, they'll use real bears and real chimpanzees for a movie.
Right.
Whether the bear is supposed to be angry at you or if it's your buddy, but like... I'm one of those people, look, I'm not an actor, but if I were, just the two things, like, will you do a nude scene? Sure, man, whatever. Will you work alongside of a chimpanzee? No. Will you work alongside of a bear? No, I will not.
Like bears, bison, just seems like there's a lot of animals that, you know, get in a zoo. Anyway, our question, what did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
I don't know, if it was a big movie and they were like, you gotta work with a bear, I'd be like, all right, is he trained?
Okay, you can say he's trained, all right? I get that. They're not going to put you out there with a wild bear. But there was an old movie with Leslie Nielsen. This came out like in the 70s. But suddenly they're lost in the woods. He's one of the last people to survive. And as they're going to make their final escape, this bear that's kind of been hunting them down shows up. And it's a grizzly bear. And it's a trained grizzly bear. But in the scene, Leslie Nielsen has to go run toward it and basically start throwing body punches. And that's the last we see of him. Obviously, he sacrifices himself for his friends. But I just thought, like, all right, this is a real bear. And I understand what the scene is. And I'm going to throw some body blows to this thing, which obviously does nothing to the bear. But, like, does the bear know that I'm joking? You can
it depends.
But the bear still sees me being aggressive.
Didn't we have a caller who called up and said he wrestled a bear somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that guy used to take that bear around, and you could wrestle.
Yeah.
But I think that he was, like...
Declawed,
and they were, like, euthanized...
Muzzled. I mean, short and muzzled, right?
Or something. Like, the bear, I don't think, was all there.
Right.
What do you mean?
Physically.
Like, not put him under, but trank him, or...
Huh.
You slow him down, you remove claws. Because, again, my thought is, like, does the bear know that I'm acting? Because if it doesn't, and it just sees me punching him. Because it's not like the bear does a run-through on the screen.
When the bear gets in the ring, does he know game on?
That's what I mean.
Probably so.
I come charging at this bear. I just expect the bear to act like a bear. So even if it's trained, I'm just not convinced.
What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Angel. Hello. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Guys. Oh, my God. Not sober.
Really?
Oh, come on. You're kidding.
Man.
So how long do we dump you?
Long story short, in high school, I was having sex with my high school boyfriend. I lived in a very small Midwest conservative town. he was Catholic. I was, quote unquote, born again Christian. But we wanted to bang.
Yeah.
So
what are you, Ricky Martin?
There wasn't a lot of places, so we went to the cemetery to have sex. There was only one cemetery in our small town. And the cops caught us.
The cops caught you.
And they shone spotlights in my boyfriend's little car that we were having sex in.
Okay, you were in the car. Right. You were not physically on the grounds, like next to a tombstone.
No, it's clothes on, but not me.
Well, why do you think that?
Yeah, because they don't want to see that. They want to see the dead leg.
That's what they said. I'm not even lying.
Oh, sure. Hey, look, man, just be honest. People understand honesty.
Yeah.
We want to see her. You put your pants on, dude.
Right.
I don't want to see her. Come on, man.
They first had me put on something below the waist. They said put on something below the waist, and then they said put on something above the waist.
That's called getting dressed.
Most cops would just say get dressed.
Correct.
This
tells
me these guys
put on your right side. Now put on your left.
Not in Kansas.
Oh, sure they are.
Now put on your pants.
Yeah, slowly though.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now turn around. What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Pro tip: you're better getting out of your car than just having sex in the cemetery.
Yeah.
I mean, if a car is parked in a place the cars aren't normally parked, the cops are going to approach it. It already seems suspicious.
Sure.
Right? I would rather park it a mile away, walk to the cemetery. Most people aren't just walking through the cemetery looking to see if people are having sex. If they see the parked car, they're like, there's someone in there having sex.
Yeah. If you're the only car in a closed place
at night,
they're going to check it out.
Yeah.
Got years ago, my dog.
I was going to say, and high school kids, the cops aren't dumb.
They're not stupid.
Right? Like, I don't care if you're doing that or going to smoke some weed in that abandoned parking lot. Like, they're going to swing through.
And the thing is, the cops did the same thing when you were there.
Right.
When they were your age. I mean, it's like, you're not doing anything new.
No, man. Nobody there. There was a huge junkyard that was on a hill, all right? And, I mean, lines of cars. You could go in there, and if you went overnight, you could probably pull the part out you needed without anybody knowing.
Sure.
It was huge. I mean, cars from like the 50s and stuff. We would just go up there and park beside a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because you just look like a car in a junkyard. So, I mean, a cop is not going to see that one car and go, oh, those two people are having sex in that one.
That's what we mean, man. Blend in. There was a guy, he was...
I parked right behind an old Caterpillar. One of those construction things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right beside it. Just parked there. That's where we had sex.
It's back in Baltimore, but it's a bunch of cars parallel parked on this one street. It's late at night. I'm taking my dog out for a walk. No big deal. Big ass shepherd. Never on a leash. Sweet dog. And, you know, he was popping his ears up and he's staring in the direction of the parked cars. I'm not really giving it a thought because dogs hear everything. But as we're walking by, there's one yellow cab parked there. And a dog immediately beelines for the yellow cab, and he's at the passenger side door, gets up on his hind legs. This is a big dog, and he's just staring in the window. But again, it's a night. I can't see anything, and he's maybe 30 feet in front of me. Then the car kind of wiggles a little bit. I hear this guy screaming, and when I get up there, it's this terrific dog. But yeah, man, it's my dog. Get your goddamn dog away from the cab. I'm like, what's going on? And as I go to grab my dog, I realize there's a chick face down in his lap. I'm like, oh, jeez. Oh, my bad, man. I didn't realize you were getting hooked up. I mean, I honestly would not have known, but
you.
My dog's just like, I hear and smell something.
I remember when I was
a
teenager.
Let me go see.
I worked as a dishwasher down there in Enumclaw, and I got done with my shift one time. My girlfriend at the time, she and I both went back to my truck, and had a little makeout session, nothing all that bad, but I do remember getting on the window from one of the guys that I worked in the kitchen with, and he was all making fun of me the entire time.
Yeah.
My truck was parked right outside the doggone building, dude. I was too stupid to realize, like, go away.
Hey, but at least it's a coworker. Like, come on, man.
Dishes are piling up in there.
They are.
What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Raymond. Welcome to the men's room.
Happy Positive Friday, John.
Positive Friday.
Anyways, I got caught. I got pulled over for a headlight being out going through Oak Ridge, Oregon. And so I was been drinking, got arrested, searched me and everything. And then for some reason, they didn't check my change pocket. And I had 2 grams of hash in there. Yeah. So ended up going into the jail, booked, released. I looked down. And when I was in the back of the cop car, I moved it to the waistband of my underwear. And I was sitting in the holding cell waiting to get released. I looked down and they were both laying on the ground.
Oh.
Yeah. And this was in like the 90s. So, and it was an old little jail. So there was no cameras. It was in convex mirrors. And so I could see them, and I reached down and grabbed it. and I held that in my hand for about another 20 minutes until they released me, and didn't get caught, man. It was crazy.
I was going to ask you, man, what is it like being arrested in a small town in Oregon? Is that like Mayberry? I mean, is that look, when you live in the city, you know, you're going to a bigger jail.
And you know what to expect. Yeah,
right. But when you're in a small town, is it really just like one jail cell and it's you in there?
Oak Ridge, Oregon was like that, absolutely.
Huh.
Because it's right down. They would end up taking you to Eugene if
you're going to go to prison.
Right, yeah. All right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be surreal. You got one dude.
Oh, it was crazy.
He's booking you. He opens the door. You're the only. And they probably go home for the night.
Yeah, I mean, but having been arrested,
the lights, you're out.
I would prefer that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, being in jail, yes, you're isolated. All of that sucks. But then when they're like, but you're isolated with guys that will kill you. Like, it's just a different feeling,
vibe,
man.
Different vibe.
Yeah, much different vibe.
Yeah, and he's right. I think it just depends on what they're charging you with.
Yeah.
But anything around here, almost always, they're just going to take you to King County.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
So if you're going to commit a crime, word is do it in Pierce County, where they have delicious cornbread.
Yeah. I haven't heard about the cornbread in a while. I wonder if they're still pumping it out.
I don't know.
Depends on who's cooking.
But we're talking about people that got out of prison and said, look, the only thing I miss about jail, honest to God, Pierce County specifically, the cornbread was dynamite.
Do you think they pass that cornbread on to the next guy who's coming in there to make it?
I think you would have to.
Is it a staple? Like, is that recipe?
I wouldn't think so, because the sense I got from all of those people we talked to, and it was an incredibly high number of people that have done time down there, but they all said, seriously, the cornbread's that good. I think if you want to keep a certain amount of calm,
yeah.
I think you need to keep the cornbread right. going.
I mean, it's like you go into McDonald's, you're going to rob the place. But yeah. All you're going to say is, just give me 4 nuggets.
Right.
Why? You know, the money? No. I just want to go back to jail so I can get that cornbread.
Well, yeah. I would also think, too, most trustees that are in the jail that are working,
yeah,
it's not like they started out as cooks.
So true.
I'm imagining it's just a standard recipe that's on the wall there.
Follow this recipe.
Right, follow that recipe.
Jesus. What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
That must be goddamn good, though.
What's that?
Just to spend any amount of time in jail and be like, I miss the corn, or I like the cornbread.
The cornbread. It was great. I mean, like, everyone we talked to was like, dude, seriously, like, you don't want to go to jail, but if you do, make sure it's Pierce County, because cornbread's worth it. Like, okay. They need to sell that cornbread at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They like, instead of you getting incarcerated, for you to be able to try a recipe.
What was the place that sent us cornbread?
Oh, those Butter Biscuit.
Butter Biscuit. That was great cornbread.
Yeah.
Are they still around?
Yes, they are. I was there just a couple weeks ago.
Did you get cornbread?
Yeah. No, I did not get the cornbread. Okay. I got their, what was it, chicken and waffle breakfast burrito.
How good was that?
Chicken and waffle breakfast burrito.
So damn
and they threw
good.
It in a burrito.
Is the waffle in the burrito?
Yes.
They put a chunks in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God, dude. It was fantastic.
I mean, that cornbread they brought us, though, was different ridiculous. Than any cornbread ever had. It was like a pancake.
Yes, nice.
It was, but it was a tour de force of
cornbread.
Does
it have maple syrup on the inside, or do you add
yes.
that? It does.
Yes.
Wow.
Dude, it's great.
What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
No, you don't need to eat for the rest of the day.
I was going to say, it sounds like a nap. It sounds like you need to go back to bed.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, joints and gents.
Hola.
So, back in my tween years, around 1980, my best friend was half Japanese, and when she would come home from Japan in the summer with these yen coins that have the hole in the middle, they're the same size and weight as the quarter, so we would go to town on Miss Pac-Man at the corner store with a couple cents of yen coins.
Okay.
All right, that makes sense.
Did you ever get caught?
We never got caught.
Excellent.
And then in the 90s, I learned if you take tin snips and you give Abe Lincoln's penny a flat top, pop that in the old coin parking meters, it would max out the parking meter.
Oh.
Wait, explain this to me again.
So you take a tin snip to a penny.
All right.
And you cut right along the top of Abe Lincoln's head, like you're giving him a flat top.
All right.
So you have a penny with a flat top. You put that in the old meters, which they don't have anymore. Turn the dial, and that meter would go up to 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Cool.
Why is that? How did you find that out?
You know, I'm not real sure. I think my boyfriend at the time heard it from somewhere, and we thought we'd try it just because we're a bunch of hoodlums, and it worked.
I mean, right.
Yeah.
Okay. We had similar, basically, tokens were the same at the laundromat as they were the arcade.
The exact same token,
right,
or same
but
size.
Wednesdays was double play day at the arcade.
So if you went there to play, and I'm in college at this point. So the video game thing was fine. I just knew it was double play days from my high school and junior high years. Same exact tokens. You just go there, and it was not far away. The arcade was right downtown. So we'd go to the arcade, get the tokens, and then go and wash your clothes. Because you just double your money, like you said.
Oh, right, right, right.
So the same
so
thing.
So you did it so you could wash more clothes. I did it so I could wash my clothes.
Boy,
yeah. It's different from college and high school.
Dude, it's
double token night. Well, we can wash our clothes.
Well, they did like on a Wednesday or Tuesday just to get people in there.
Yeah, of course.
It was the busiest day of the week for the arcade. But I would just go there to get the stuff and have all these tokens. And when I was ready to wash my clothes.
You know how to live, brother.
I'm telling you. What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
I am with you. I mean, I get it. You're college age. I just thought that was going the complete opposite. Like, we played games for hours.
No. I was washing clothes.
It's like we had a guy that called this show probably 18, 19 years ago. And I love what people will admit to, but not the guy you were thinking with the international border. But we had a dude that called and said for years he was counterfeiting money. All right? This is his big brag. He's like, I don't do it anymore. Don't know. We're like, really, man? Like, what denominations? This dumb. Look. If you have the ability to successfully counterfeit money, wouldn't you go for higher bills, like 20?
No.
He did ones. And we're like, you did $1 bills. He's like, me and my boys go down to the strip club. But the whole time he's going on about this, thinking he got over on everybody, I'm like, you have the ability to counterfeit money, and you counterfeited ones.
It's also the last one that you would really check out.
Yeah, because what idiot? You know. Because look, here's the thing. If you get popped by the FBI for counterfeiting money, then you got popped for counterfeiting money. It doesn't matter if it's a $100 bill or a $1 bill. Like I said, if I'm going to go to jail for auto theft, I'm going to steal a Lamborghini, not an AMC Pacer.
But you can get a $100 bill at a mint, you know, like a Denver, right? And they have a gift shop. You go in there, they're still going to check out that money.
Oh, always.
If it's 100.
But that's the thing. And that's the thing with the car thing. It's easier to steal cheaper cars.
It is. But, Ted, you're telling me. All right. And I hear what you're saying, but we have a counterfeit machine. All right. We're going to do this. If I said we're going to do ones, you're not going to try to talk me up like, hey, bro, how about fives?
I would say five and tens, but I'm with Miles. I wouldn't do anything 20 and above.
Because they do check.
Because they check it every time.
I did have a guy check a $10 bill once. And
damn.
Well, it was just a regular store. I handed it to him, and he did like the marker thing. And I was like, bro, if I'm going to counterfeit money, it'll be higher than 10. I know, man, but I got to check.
Like, I think the most awkward thing is when that cashier tries to give you like that Canadian quarter. Or a 50-cent piece. It's like, nah. I'm not getting stuck with this.
Yes. No, man. But you know you're going to get it if the person in front of you in line pays with it. They pay with a $2 bill and a 50-cent piece, and you're like, God damn it, that's going to be my change.
I've got a bag of Canadian money, and I've got a bag of Mexican money.
Me too.
And it's just sitting there. And I never remember to bring it whenever I go to either one of those
countries. Oh, I do. I absolutely do. Oh, yeah. We got the Mexican money pile, so when we go to Mexico, we grab that. It's just a good start. So you don't have to go to the exchange at the airport, which, by the way, do not do your exchange at an airport. It's always much higher.
I've done it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Take the little bit of cash you have, just enough to get a cab to your hotel.
You'd be surprised how far just a U.S. $1 bill goes. They'd almost rather have that.
Brother, I will say when I'm in Mexico, anytime I need a favor from a local, if I pop out a 10 spot, they're like, on it.
Anytime I go to Vancouver, Victoria, they'll take U.S. currency.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
what did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hey, howdy, neighbor. You ever seen this? It's a paper dollar. I'm going to get thrown out of Canada.
Yeah, we know.
So you don't take this up here in the 51st state?
Throw that in your loony bin.
Yeah, exactly. Anyhow, your beer sucks.
Hello, Chucky. Welcome to the men's room.
Not that bad.
That's great. Chucky, hello. Either.
Hola. So speaking of money, back when I used to be in California, I was in high school. I was in the ROTC program. And you know how they have those boxes of chocolates that you have to sell for fundraising and stuff.
Yeah, world's finest.
What is that? $2 candy bar, I believe.
It was $1, and in the box comes 50. So my ROTC program, they had this little contest where whoever sells the most gets a medal and a ribbon to put on our uniform. So I started selling chocolates every day by Safeway and stuff like that. And my buddy, he was selling it too, but he was beating me. So what I did, my parents, they owned a hotel. So what I used to do, I used to go into the cash register, take out $50 bill, pretended I sold it, and I would go to my master chief, give him, you know, the $50, and he would give me another box of chocolate. I did this for a really long time, and then...
were you eating the chocolate?
No, I was not. I was selling it here and there, but, you know, I couldn't sell them fast enough.
Okay.
Because I, you know, so I started stealing $50 bills and giving it to my master chief. And everybody's like, man, this guy is, you know, doing so good, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard my dad telling my mom, like, hey, you know, I don't know why we are always short $50. So my dad started taking $50 from his own pocket and, you know, replacing it. And so this went on for like a month. And later on, they put a camera.
Oh.
They put a camera in the office. And I started to put a sticky note on the camera lens. And, you know, I still took out money. And one day I was reaching up to take off the sticky note and my dad walked in.
Oh.
Walked in, he figured out what was going on and I got the whooping of my life.
Yeah, but did you get the medal?
I did get the medal.
All right. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Not having your homework done is bad enough, but God, when you had to turn back in those boxes of chocolate and you haven't sold them, but you've eaten some.
God, no, man. Did your brother get the box stolen?
My brother went to a Catholic university.
Yeah.
He was selling his chocolate bars there. He got stolen and robbed. And then Bernie, you fast forward about 10 years later, same metro stop. And they, the guy came by and said, give me a chocolate. You know, Bernie, F you, I'm not giving yes. Guy came back with a gun, said, I'll take your money and the chocolate.
Oh.
Same metro stop. They both got robbed.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCKS.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Coming up here at 5:08, we'll drink a toast the weekend with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Shout out that we're telling you something that you don't already know, but today is a National Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Yeah.
It is also National Video Games Day.
Of course.
So today, we're going to celebrate those holidays. Representing National Video Games Day, we have the one and only Buckner and Garcia.
To name another song from Buckman and Garcia.
There isn't one.
Yes, that is what I thought.
Yeah.
It feels like a song for a sports team in the 70s or 80s.
It does have that vibe.
Yes.
Representing National Chocolate Milkshake Day, that would be the one only Keyless.
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 Is that Keyless?
Kelly's. Something. Either way.
Kelly's.
What is the commercial this is on?
It's on one of them that we have. It was on a Bounty commercial, I think.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Like, to me, this is a TV commercial. I know it's a song.
Spilled your milkshake? You need the quicker picker up.
Yeah,
do you guys have any personal favorites you want for this one?
For this, I like this one. Honestly, this one throws it back for me.
I'm kind of getting used to this Pac-Man song.
I'm going Pac-Man.
Pac-Man fever. Driving me crazy.
By the way, Miles, I think it's Khalees.
Khalees?
She's talking about her body.
Khalees. Vote now if you follow us on X there. It's a Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink a toast with a shot of the day. Our question, what did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
So I mean, do you guys remember driving?
All right. Jesus, man.
Wow. Strong talk.
Here are the seven words.
Hey, you remember
can't say
the seven
on the
words?
Radio.
You do? You know?
Sucker, mother.
And all for him.
You remember, please keep George Carlin? Denied when calling. Now back to the program.
People under 40 would never know what a drive-in movie is. Right. Go ahead.
Anyway, so a buddy of mine, we pulled up to the Everett 128 drive-in, and it was when me, myself, and Irene and Mission Impossible were in the theaters.
Right.
Anyway, so we pulled up there. And my home, we had two cars deep. We had the homie Master Bass in the trunk.
Again, bedroom colors. Here are the seven words you can't say on the radio.
Stop cussing.
Come on, man.
Sucker. And please. Always keep those words in mind when calling.
Wow.
Now back to the program.
He didn't swear once during that screening process. I'm amazed that he couldn't get a sentence out without it this time around.
To be fair, he did vary it up to two different bad words.
God.
Yeah, you're right. Credit to that.
Mostly people repeat the same one when it happens.
Well, the good news is if you happen to be checking us out on YouTube, you caught all that.
That's
at KISW Rock. I mean, that's value right there.
Yeah, right. There you go. Bang for your buck.
You get to hear the dumbness.
I just never heard anybody so annoyed that people might not know what a drive-in theater was. Right. It's like, well, they've been gone for a minute.
You notice that, right? Yeah. They just haven't been around for a while.
Backing it up to our bad choices, I did look it up. It's Khalees is how you say that.
Khalees.
What else has Khalees done?
Khalees.
I don't know what else Khalees
does. I'm just saying, are they both one-hit wonders here?
Let's see.
I'm guessing
she had a couple songs.
All right.
Let's see. Milkshake, Bossy, Trick Me, Millionaire, Get Along With You.
I think Bossy was pretty big.
Bossy.
Doesn't matter. Pac-Man Fever is going to win.
You think so?
I hope so.
It's close right now, dude.
Is it?
Yeah.
Back to what you were saying. If you are with a drive-in movie theater, that's about the same time frame as far as knowing Pac-Man Fever.
Someone here says there's one in Oak Harbor.
Okay, but...
Right. They're not prevalent is the point.
And Oak Harbor is, you're kind of out there.
Say what you really want to say, Ted.
You're saying they don't have like regular movie theaters.
Well, I'm sure they have one with like two screens.
Yeah.
Sorry, O'Carver. But like, you know.
They know.
Yeah.
They know where they live.
They used to have them in Fremont during the summer. They
like drive it?
In. Well, they just project it.
There's outdoor movies.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
I understand that.
That's a picnic.
The problem with those is the sound sucks.
They're terrible.
With drive-ins, now. They have basically a FM frequency.
Yeah, they go through your radio.
They hook
that little thing over your window.
The problem is, you got to worry about your battery.
Like right.
3 hour movie.
Well, I don't want to offend anybody here locally, but.
But you're going to.
The one in Laurel where I grew up, man, they closed it when I was a kid. Built a Costco.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
If any place could open a drive in movie theater, it'd be a place like Costco.
Right? Yeah.
You park, and it's just like, now we have a limited menu, but all those free samples, like all of those things are available to you if you order. Yeah. I would go.
Well, look, if you have a giant parking lot already, I mean, if you're going to close and you're going to wait till dark, so just use that parking lot, put up a screen.
Why not?
Game on. I mean, it's not like you have to have an individual place to do it. Just find a mall parking lot, put up a giant ass screen.
Because the thing is, the mall's closed by 9, right?
Right.
So it's your first movie at 9:30.
That's exactly right. Hang out in the parking lot.
Well, have you been to a movie lately?
To a movie?
Like a movie theater?
Yeah, I mean, the last one was probably, what, Sharknado? Or what was the other one?
Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, Cocaine Bear.
Those theaters are so nice now.
They are, man.
I mean, when I went to see F1, I was loving life.
Well, the Tracyton movie theater was nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
like, I didn't see a movie there, but...
No. I don't understand the desire to sit in my car and watch a movie.
No, you're right. The sound was crap. I don't want to do it, but the novelty of it was nice.
Cars were more comfortable back then.
And for teenagers, let's be honest. You want to get handsy, right? You're in the sanctity of your car. I think drive-ins did really well for that reason.
If you're four people, the people in the back can't see.
They can't hear.
If you're double dating, you can't see.
But that's why they're getting handsy. It's understood that no one's really going to pay attention to the movie. It's all about getting to third base. Yeah,
there was also bench seats in those old cars. You don't have those anymore.
Those are gone. My grandfather used to take me to the drive-in movie theater in Huntington, West Virginia, the East End Drive-In. The night we went, it rained.
Mm-hmm.
And his windshield wipers this is the 70s.
Yeah.
And the windshield wipers just sucked. And they squeaked.
You're watching the movie and it's raining?
It's a drive-in movie theater.
Yeah, it's awful.
It was. I just didn't know any different. I just, you know, whatever the weather is, you're out there and you're in it.
Yeah.
So the windshield wipers are going, and you have a little. At that point in time, you had a little like walkie-talkie thing that you put on.
You kind of strapped it over your window.
Yeah. So it was, you know, the window's got to be a little bit down.
And like the outdoor movies, I get right.
Sure.
Especially if you're dating a girl, you go sit outside.
I love that stuff. Right?
Yeah, bring some salami, all that crap. And they
well, but also
you're not wrong.
But also,
all right, I'm just like, look, let's just suck it up and pay the price to go see it in the theater.
It's a picnic. I don't want you to sit outside to watch the movie.
Right.
Well, some people did bring chairs, but at the same point in time,
I don't want to have to bring anything other than my wallet.
What I do remember was we were going to go there and we were going to eat and watch the movie.
Yeah.
So it starts to rain.
But the way that they did this, when you would walk up to the concession stand.
And you have to walk it back.
They would
to
give
your car.
You a tray. And all that right. tray would clip on the window yep. of your car. So you'd roll your window down a little bit, and the food was like on the outside.
Yeah, it's like going to Sonic.
Which is a little bit strange because, you know, bird
your
could
food would get cold.
It, poop on it, like right. all those things. But you can't do that in the rain. You can't just have your food in the rain.
No.
Can't eat a soggy burger.
So we're hungry. It's raining.
Can't see the movie.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803.
Honestly, that sounds horrible.
It really does.
Like you're at a drive-in theater. It's raining. Granddad's got the wipers going.
Yeah. Like, and keep in mind, it was by the carload. So, you know, there was one near our place in Masontown, Pennsylvania, when I was growing up. It's by the carload. So this is when you park your car outside. Four people get into the trunk. You know, you bring folding chairs. You go in there looking like a lowrider. You sneak everybody in. Trunk pops open. Everybody jumps out. You grab a chair. You sit down. Watch a movie.
Yeah, it kind of sucked.
You just worked
but system. It's what you knew. I mean, looking back, it was freaking awful. Because we were in Rochester the last time I went to a drive-in. And it's just cold all the time. You know, so you'd be excited to go as a kid, in spite of the fact that you knew the experience kind of blew. You know, like my father would say, do you want to see the movie? We're like, hell yeah, drive in, hell yeah. And then on the way there, like, right, the window's going to be cracked. It's 15 degrees outside. The food, I mean, seriously, I mean, like the food, you got hot fries. They were absolutely frozen. Right. Dad's smoking in the front. Like, looking back, I don't know why we got excited.
They would also do the marquee movie as soon as they could. And then typically a double feature.
Yep.
And the double feature was like the latest horror movie.
Yeah.
Always
or,
a B
or
movie. Yeah.
Like, you know, Death Race 2000.
Yeah.
Or something that was more adult. They would show up until like midnight.
Chance of seeing boobs.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803.
I was going to say, I'm also the generation where like most of the movie theaters were in the mall.
Yep.
So like if we went to see a movie, it was hours long event. Because then you'd walk around the mall, you go to the food court. If me and Miles went, right, and we're in 7th or 8th grade together, like, you hope we run into some chicks.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a whole thing.
That is why parents always seem so cool. Like, would you like to see a movie? Because your ass was gone for like 7 hours.
Yeah.
I always thought my parents were so nice. And then I thought back. I'm like, nah, they just want to get us out of the house.
Yeah.
There's $5. Call us when you're done. Oh, hey, don't be in a hurry.
Going to the mall on the weekend, doing the food court, the arcade, doing the movie thing. That was
you got to go to that candy store to get the sourest candy imaginable.
Everything.
Somebody try to impress people.
Somebody spit it out halfway through.
Somebody at Pepperidge Farm to throw you little pieces, you know, meat or cheese.
Those guys, they were
go to that weird corner store, look at the knives.
Watch the guy play the organ.
Dun, 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 dun.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Weeded wenches.
Certainly.
So, one of the only good things about the kingdom, which was before you guys' time here, was the outside concourse was a great place to go and smoke a bowl with your buddy. You would have to sacrifice some of the game because you would go down the concourse, which is, you know, outside the stadium or on the outside of the stadium, and there was like a little landing area. And then, like, so you'd go down 50 yards, landing area, and switch back the other way 50 yards. So you and your buddy would stand there smoking a cigarette. You could just bend down so as if to tie your shoe, and you could hit the bowl and then stand up and hand it to your buddy. And then he could bend down and look like he's tying his shoe. Or
you guys just walk down there to tie your shoes.
Yeah.
Or really be really friendly, whichever. Because you were just trying to hide from view from the other concourse that was about 20 yards over or whatever. And never got caught in all that time. You know, you'd stand there, take two or three hits each, and then head back to the game. And so it was excellent.
That's what I miss about the kingdom,
wonderful.
Man.
Yes.
Go out there, smoke weed, then go back into the game. But he's right. It's probably the only good thing about the kingdom.
It is weird when you travel the rest of the country.
What do you mean?
Just like when I went to that national title game, right? It was at the Texan Stadium.
All right.
So, like, they have outdoor sections. And I was like, people smoking cigarettes out. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, not everybody has the same rules as, like, the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, look, I don't smoke cigarettes. But, like, I don't know. People smoke cigs. If they're out on the walkway in one little corner, like, I don't care.
Raven Stadium originally did not have smoking. So, like, so I try to go back once a year for a game. But the last time we were there, I'd ask one of the security guards. I'm like, look, man, this is a bad game. It was just, it's freezing cold. Game kind of sucked. I'm like, if I just step outside of the door and smoke, right? You know I have a ticket. Doesn't matter. He's like, well, I can't let you back in, but you can go to the smoking section there, 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 man. I'm
my bad.
Yeah, they're fairly new, so that was awesome.
That was one weird thing about Munich, man.
Oh, they didn't care.
You could walk out with your beer. I mean, correct. You could walk out. Like, they treat you like an adult.
Because you're an adult.
Go out there, drink a beer, smoke your cigarette, walk back in. Like, you're an adult.
They're not. They understand.
You like, can come back
you
in.
Want
you
want to drink
leave.
Your beer. Yes. You want to smoke your cigarette. So, yeah, step out of this door, do those things, mm-hmm. and then come back in. But we would ask, because that's what we know, living in the States. And this German security guard's like, why are you in there? Take your goddamn beer. Leave me alone, dumbass.
You're telling me that that is all it costs to buy a beer here?
Yeah.
Yep. Like, wow. That's the equivalent of $4 American. Okay. Thank you.
I don't know if it's because it was Vegas. I really think it was because of all the Europeans.
Yeah.
But, like, where we were sitting at F1, like, those guys, they did not care. People were just lighting up cigs in the stands.
Like, it's
and nobody said anything.
No.
And then later, I was like, there's a smoking area? Well, I thought you could smoke everywhere. And like, I was like... But our section was like, we were the only Americans. So I was like, I don't think the Europeans care.
Well, same with the smoking as far as in the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just assume you could smoke anywhere in Vegas. Just based on the fact that you could walk through a casino with a ripping a cig and no one cares. I mean, there are smoke-free areas and smoke-free casinos.
There are.
There is.
But for the most part, you know, it's 75% smoking.
Are you worried about my well-being as I gamble my money away? Come on, man.
The Harrah's in New Orleans is a cloud. You walk you can't even see. I mean, it's
everyone in there.
You need to put a cigarette in your mouth and not light it. Just use the filter.
I've been in some bars in some small towns, and people are still smoking inside.
Of course. What did you get? Especially like if you have a private club. You ever been to a private club where you're like a yearly member?
Yeah.
Okay. Those people almost just buy that exclusively to sit and rip cigarettes and drink. What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-RUN.
I mean, you see me. I'm in Vegas. It's like, hey, you know what? How? Give me a cig.
Yeah, they're running numbers. They got their video poker machines are paying out on all these stuff. These are basically those private clubs. I've been in one where I was like, this is crazy. Like,
it's awesome, though.
Yeah, they've got a craps table.
Yep.
This is nuts.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, no. It's a positive great. Friday, man.
Yes, sir. I've been a delivery guy for like 25 years, and there's lots of ladies out there, and I have not got caught in many office buildings, houses, and so on and so forth.
What do you deliver?
Water.
Water.
Oh, all right.
And they get wet when I deliver.
You put that on the side of your truck.
You've been doing this for all. So you're in your 40s, 50s?
47 now.
So was this more in your younger days, or is this something that's just been pretty steady for your whole career?
Pretty steady.
Now do you have the same steady, or is it just random, you never know?
It's varied through the years.
How many different women have you ended up with because you deliver water?
That would be, I don't know for sure, 15, 20, 25.
For
maybe.
Delivering water.
Is this more at businesses or at home? I mean, where does this work out better for you?
A little bit of both.
So how do they approach you? I mean, are they just straight up like drop the water and hop in bed with me or what?
No, there's got to be a little bit of foreplay, you know. I got to get a number and, you know, kind of work my magic or whatever.
All right.
Just do me a favor. I don't know who you work for. I don't think they sell it out here. But when I grew up, we had a machine with Deer Park.
Mm-hmm.
So next, if this ever happens again, you just go, Deer Park, that's good water.
Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Be sure to do that, Josh.
Are you a good-looking guy, Josh?
I don't know. I mean, I'm. Are you okay? Seem to like me.
If you keep getting laid, do you care?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a musician too, so that helps.
Are these women? Is it just? What's the best way to put this? Do you have standards?
sometimes not. So,
okay.
You know, right. Just
potpourri.
You know.
All right. So if they're interested, exactly. You're down.
Yeah, he's in a different spot there, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, everybody has a type. You might find somebody beautiful, but then there's a lot of women that could just be sexy that you want to have sex with. That
yes.
Yeah, so I feel like he's that's where he's at.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, you can go through all these different descriptions.
I don't know if that helped
her. But inevitably, they're like, what's your perfect type of woman? Like, she has a vagina and she finds me.
She likes me.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of chicks are you into? Like,
The ones chicks? That, ones that like me?
Yeah, the female ones, I don't know what to tell
you. Few and far between.
What the ones that are available.
What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh! Dave. All that.
And a dong.
Damn, Dave.
Dave and a dong.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
Actually didn't get caught doing, so I'm sorry. I will try and be as quick as possible. This is a slightly long-winded story, but when I was 19 years old, I had just moved back to my hometown from my first outing as an adult. Didn't go so well. Moved back home, wound up moving in with a friend. And one night we were all having a party, pretty much like, I don't know, 75% of the people were all underage, were all drinking, passing around party favors, and I wound up in my car with a girl. After we finished up, I stayed behind listening to music, and the police rolled up and they started arresting people. Didn't see me in the car, so I put my seat back. And when they weren't paying attention, I snuck into the back seat of my car where there was a huge pile of clothes from my move back. And I pushed them onto the floor and hid underneath the clothes as two police officers came to my car and started shining flashlights through it. Long story short, I didn't end up getting caught. They drove away with several people arrested. And I emerged out of the car to... really loud applause from the remaining people, like I had just won some sort of
Houdini.
That's awesome.
Hey, whatever works, man.
Exactly. Ta-da.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it sounds bad, but if you can hide from the cops when you know they've got something on there, yeah, hide.
We got 10 versus the FCC coming up for you, and emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.